This is the Friday, April 17th, 2015 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Here now to lend us her insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Elaine Cupp. Elaine, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, it has been a busy week in the wheat market. It has not been a pretty week from the producer's perspective. Talk to us about what's happened this week and what's it look like for this next week.
Yeah, from an analyst perspective, wheat is exciting because it's actually a market that's moving somewhere and doing something, and it's almost entirely related to weather. This is a good classic weather market. You get a forecast for rain in the drought-stricken southern plains of the United States. You obviously have a bearish reaction in the futures market, and that makes perfect sense. And it's, not a great situation for the farmers. And I think it's maybe a little premature. We really don't know what condition that wheat will be in. Monday will be a good day to get the weekly crop progress reports and get some numbers from that.
Now, being a South Dakota native, there has been prolonged dryness there if you get north of Pierre and up into North Dakota and Wisconsin. But that's kind of now a second thought to the market on this wheat side.
Yeah, I can definitely confirm that it is dry in the Dakotas and into Minnesota. And that now you're talking more of the spring wheat market, and maybe we'll have some poor emergence of the wheat there. Again, we really want to see the observations of the crop progress observers. I think it will be really interesting to watch these next few weeks. But overall, the big trends of the wheat market are more international. You're still talking about a stocks-to-use ratio of 27% in the global numbers. So whatever happens to U.S. wheat is still just kind of, it'll move it to some degree, but it's not going to change this market by a dollar or more, let's say.
So fairly range-bound producers don't plan on selling here this week, try to catch a bounce back towards the top end of the range?
Yeah, in my opinion, it will remain range-bound, and maybe you should be selling if this is a profitable level for you, which it probably isn't. But if it was, I mean, I don't think that we can expect, because of the global glut of supply, I don't think we can expect to wait for a more profitable price down the road.
Okay, well, now let's jump into this old crop corn market. We've seen some stability here in this old crop corn. As we're getting into planting, a lot of folks are still waiting on that weather rally here this spring. Do you think we're going to get it? What's your advice?
Yeah, I think that there's some reasonable reasons to have a bullish slant to the corn market. The commercials have been buying corn futures, suggesting that these prices are something where your ethanol processors and corn processors like these prices, livestock feeders, can get by on these prices. So this is a buying opportunity for the commercial side of the market, as evidenced by the CFTC report. And I think that that's one reason not to have, there's no bearish cloud of speculative net long position that's going to suddenly fall away. I think there's the weather situation that it is dry in corn-growing parts of the United States, and that maybe should be reflected in the market. So I think there's some reasons to have a slight bullish slant, but again, I'm very overall neutral on corn.
Okay, and that applies to new crop as well? Just should producers be making some sales, waiting to see what happens, or flip a coin?
Yeah, so it's difficult from a risk management strategy, right? If this was a profitable level, I would say I've got a neutral outlook, and if you're profitable, you should be selling. But it's not a profitable level, so is that okay to sell? I haven't been selling, and I'll tell you why. It's because, first of all, these are terrible prices, and second of all, I think there is a chance that, we do not have a perfect start to this planting season, and the market should reflect some risk premium because of that. So I think it would be possible to see easily 15 or 20 cents higher, maybe more if the weather remains non-perfect going forward. Although, there is El Nino coming up, which is actually generally favorable to U.S. corn production, but there's some dryness still, and I think at this point we can wait and see.
That 420, 425 level, that's when it starts to look kind of attractive to you, that 15, 25
cents on top of today. Well, I think that's the range. So if you got to the top of that range, it would be awfully tempting. If you start breaking through that range, then maybe something more exciting would happen, but I'm not expecting that.
All right. Well, now let's jump down into the soybean market. We saw a bit of a bounce back this week. Dead cat bounce after last week's sell-off, or are we into some new kind of fundamental change here with the 17-cent move in this old crop soybean market?
It's really hard to say. I think, again, we've got a very neutral market and the short-term things that happen in any given week. I don't know that soybeans are necessarily sharing all of the bullish slant that corn has at this point in time. You could even have a situation in the new crop market of soybeans receiving acres that would be abandoned from corn. And I think it's too early to be saying that yet, but you're hearing rumblings of those ideas from the southern part of the United States. So it's possible that you could see soybeans losing some ground to corn in relationship.
All right. Now, so new crop beans, same story. Same story as corn without the neutral slant. So this is maybe more of a selling opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's more urgent to be selling soybeans than corn, especially because you have the large supplies from South America that farmers there have still been holding off on their sales. So there is more of a threat that you could get a big movement of physical soybeans coming onto the market and pressuring prices lower.
All right. Now, the Argentina farmer is going to be selling here anytime soon.
That's the threat. Yeah, I mean, they've been holding off, and so that is a big cloud over the soybean market that the corn market doesn't share.
All right. Well, now let's talk cattle markets. We've got a question here from one of our viewers on Twitter, and I know Elaine Cubb is a Twitter aficionado. So this guy, cattle buyer in Kansas, he is at cattle buyer. He's curious, as we're talking live cattle, is this latest break on the board a product of a stronger dollar and cheaper pork, or a product of technical fund selling, or is it all of the above?
I am inclined to blame it on the technical fund selling, just because if you look at the pattern of the open interest in the live cattle futures market and the movement of those prices, that's the only thing that seems to explain those prices. They don't necessarily move from week to week with the actual cash prices. And I think that you would be looking at sort of a bullish idea for pork prices in this season. Seasonally, we're going into a time frame where pork should be bullish, so I wouldn't blame the cattle on that either. We did see the cash market go down a couple of dollars this week, so yeah, I mean, the futures thing is sort of on its own independent little path.
And the cash market, so let's talk that, since we do have some physical numbers that appear to be relatively realistic on the cash side.
Yeah.
Are we still seeing reduced slaughter? We're still seeing reduced heifer slaughter for sure.
Yeah, the numbers compared to last year, compared to what an average expectation, are still, you know, 7%, 10% lower than we would expect, but the heavier carcasses. So it's sort of a hidden number there. One thing was interesting is, you know, the U.S. now has an opportunity to sell fed cattle to Mexican packing plants, but that has not been reflected in these cash prices. The cash prices, like I said, were softer this week, so there's really nothing in there. The packers are not making a lot of money. The feeders are not making a lot of money, so there's nothing that I would think would suggest a bullish move in the live cattle market near term.
Okay, status quo.
Status quo.
Well, now let's talk feeder cattle market. We have seen some very high volatility in that market over the past 2.5 months, down $1.20 this week. Same story, fund selling, or are we just thinly traded?
Yeah, again, the futures market, what it does from 1 week to the next does not necessarily match your cash prices, where you still have very good profitability, very good selling opportunities for cow-calf guys, and the futures market is just running off doing its own thing based on, you know, the population there is very heavily weighted towards speculators. So yes, I suspect that they are the ones driving those movements.
So advice to cow-calf producers looking to lock in some of these prices, but maybe a little leery of participating on the board?
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest anybody goes to the board unless perhaps as some sort of speculative play to see the convergence of those two prices, which has not necessarily been happening with very much regularity in the past few contracts. So I would avoid the board and just, you know, stay with the concept that this is a tight market. The cow-calf guys have the power in the market. There is an actual legitimate shortage of supply. So just expect those good prices to hopefully continue.
And sell cash.
Yeah.
All right. Now, as we talk the pork market, that has been a tough market to follow for producers in particular. But now we've got some conflicting news with the bird flu spreading around the country, particularly in the upper Midwest. We have another question from Twitter, this one from Nell J. in the cornfields of southern Minnesota. Nell is curious, with this bird flu issue, could this turn the pork market around long term?
Yeah, if long term is 6 months to a year out, I think that we will still be experiencing effects from this bird flu epidemic that far out, because South Korea has shut off their imports of U.S. Poultry, and that will be at least for 6 months. So already them and China and other countries have shut off exports from certain counties or certain states. So you've got more poultry that's going to remain here in the United States. You might think that the bird flu would be bullish to poultry prices and bullish to meat prices the way that the swine problems last year were bullish to pork prices, but I don't think that's the situation. Minnesota, I believe, has lost maybe two million birds, turkeys, but that's actually still less than 1% of the total supply there. So, you know, as far as the actual death loss, it's tragic for the individual producers, but it's a small portion of actual market impact, physical market impact. It's a bigger portion of the export impact, and a bearish one at that, bearish towards consumer behavior. We're going to have probably cheap poultry in the United States at the grocery store all through grilling season, and that would have the knock-on effect to the hog market.
So we could see headwinds through the next 3 to 4 months.
Yes, this is the time frame when we'd like to see pork recovering, but they might have a challenge now.
All right. Well, Elaine Cubb, thank you so much for joining us this week.
It's been my pleasure.